Let the words of my mouth and meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. People of God in St. Bede's, again, good morning. Last week, we heard from the letter of James the description of God as the giver of good and perfect gifts, and most notably, the gift of from his will of our salvation to be a first fruit of his creatures. And today, as we noted, marks Rogation Sunday, the day when the church has traditionally offered prayer for God's blessings on the fruits of the earth and the labors of those who produce our food. And historically, the Rogation days, those 3 days before Ascension, were a period of fasting and abstinence, asking for God's blessing on the crops for a bountiful harvest. Today, having mostly been long removed from a primarily agricultural society, we can be thankful that we live in a society where food is generally plentiful, but in some areas, disproportionately available. And we as a church can and will continue to partner with ministries like Interfaith Community Services and Gospel Rescue Mission to help those people more locally. But again, being reminded of our position as first fruits among God's creatures, we can use the last of these 50 days of preparation before Pentecost to prepare for our Lord's ascension and understand more richly the call and privilege of the Great Commission. Jesus has brought another harvest to our attention in 3 of the Gospels, a great harvest with ripe fields but too few laborers. A plentiful harvest of people requiring laborers to be sent out amid weary and scattered people whom Jesus had compassion on, for they had no shepherd. God is calling for laborers for his harvest. But before he sends them out, he commands one action, to pray. Pray for greater numbers of laborers and pray for their safety, for they are sent out as lambs among wolves. The harvest is ready, but Jesus, in his long suffering and patience, desires more souls to be won and gleaned with the harvest. As ambassadors of Christ, he has sent you and I into the world, but we too must pray. Our second reading is the account from Luke of our Lord's instruction on prayer. The word rogation is from a Latin word, as I mentioned, which means to ask. And as we prepare this week once more to hear and renew our devotion and call of the Great Commission into God's harvest, we must ask. We must pray to God in the manner and for the will which our mediator and advocate Jesus Christ is doing so on our behalf. You wouldn't expect a farmer to prosper in business who contented himself with sowing his fields and never looking at them until the harvest. And likewise, would you expect a believer to attain much holiness who wasn't engrossed in Holy Scripture and prayer? We do well, despite the familiarity, to hear our Lord's counsel given in the instruction regarding prayer. And prayer begins with the same posture of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. It begins with humility. But we sometimes feel guilty or unfocused or irritable and assume that this disqualifies us from God's attention. But the Bible assures us and shows that God's response to the prayers of the unworthy. A sense of unworthiness serves as a starting point. Because apart from feeling unworthy, feeling humbled before the presence of God, why would we call on him in the first place? Now, prayer has never meant that God would stop being God. We do not have the wisdom or the grace to run the universe. And God is God. He will continue to decide how to run the universe in the best way. We pray to know the will of God, but lack the capacity to know it fully. But we can learn more deeply. And then this informs our prayers. While God invites us to petition Him with our prayers and needs, our prayers should always be centered on Him, not on ourselves. We must begin with reverence. In the Lord's Prayer, our Lord, which He taught, He essentially leads us by saying, "I know your petitions, but put those aside for now." He taught that our prayer must begin with a moment when we close our eyes, put our hands over our mouth like Job did in the presence of God, and just consider, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Prayer is not merely useful as a means of getting things from God, but it is a means of worship and training as our hearts and minds learn to become concerned with those matters that most concern our Heavenly Father. Then if we ask Him for a fish or bread, He will not give us a snake or a stone, but He might give us Pepto-Bismol or ibuprofen. He will give us what is good for us, but He wants us to start prayer being sure of and resting in His love. God in His graciousness reached down through all means of creaturely mediation. But sometimes we end up worshiping those things that He gives us. Technology, food, medicine, whatever we seem to need to make life simpler, easier, or self-sufficient. But we should rather call on God in whom we are dependent. We sometimes start in prayer downstream and inform God as if He doesn't already know. Instead, we should start upstream with the promises and certainty of God and see that He already cares about our needs. God needs no reminding of the nature of reality, but I do. And we trust God with what He already knows. We have faith in God and His grace that He provides to us new every morning. As selfish and indolent as we naturally are, we are capable of being roused to action by continual asking. The man who would not give 3 loaves at midnight for friendship's sake at length gave them to save himself from being further bothered. And so the application is clear and plain. If pestering succeeds so well between man and man, then how much more may we expect it to obtain mercies when used in prayer to God? But sometimes we get answers to our persistent requests after we have learned to do without that which we are requesting of Him. The utterly amazing thing is that God has ordained to occlude us in running the universe. But it is a dangerous thing to be in God's presence in prayer apart from a mediator. This would only bring judgment. There has to be a bloody cross and an empty tomb for us to call God our Father. And the advance of God's kingdom seems to be slowed by our feeble prayers. But we are promised the Holy Spirit to come to our aid, much like a parent who slows his or her pace when teaching a child to walk. He really does respond to our prayers. They are woven into the fabric of causes that God wills to be moved by. But some will say that there is power in our prayers. But I want to assure you that there is none. There is power only in God, to whom we pray. We do not pray in vain, though. He is our Father. And when He hears His children, He responds. He is not deaf or indifferent or powerless. He hears and He acts. He, the giver of good gifts, He gives of Himself. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Holy Spirit is beyond doubt the greatest gift which God can bestow upon man. Having the Holy Spirit, having this gift, we have all things: life, truth, hope, and heaven. Having this gift, we have God the Father's boundless love, God the Son's atoning blood, and full communion with all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Having this gift, we have grace and peace in the present world, and glory and honor in the world to come. And yet this mighty gift is held out by our Lord Jesus Christ as a gift to be obtained in prayer, to be obtained in the fullness of the Spirit. Your Heavenly Father shall give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. The Father hears, the Son advocates our cause, and the Spirit prompts our hearts to speak rightly. There's a scene you all likely have been a part of. The time comes when we open fellowship or close a Bible study and the call for prayer request goes out, and no one says a word. Have we lost our sight and the presence of Jesus as our advocate for any need, for any peril? Or worse, we're talking with someone who's sharing a burden and we promise, "I'll pray for you," and we never do. It's been said, if you want to find out how much someone loves you, find out how much they pray for you. Do it now, in the moment. Do it in humility. And do it with the promise of the giver of good and perfect gifts, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in you and making intercessions for us to God the Father through the way and the door, God the Son, Jesus Christ. So I want you to look now to your brother or sister in Christ beside you, behind you, or in front of you. Do you love them? Do you dare admit to them how much or how little you have prayed for them? Well, we can rectify that now. We can also express our love for the dozens of people on our prayer list who have asked directly for prayer or prayers that have been petitioned for them on behalf of those in our congregation who love them so dearly. And so, let us take 10 minutes. Go alongside one of your brothers and sisters. Ask them what they need in prayer. And pray. If you don't know what to pray, I encourage you, look at Psalm 67 again. And pray that together. You can look at the prayers in the prayer book. You can look over the prayer list. And I want to ask for your one particular prayer. I want you to pray for Jeanette. Jeanette has COVID. She's recovering well, but pray for her. Pray that God continues to work through and beyond this illness. So please, go to your brother and sister and pray. Thank you, everyone, and may we come back together and close. Just a few final words for application. It's far easier to begin a habit of prayer than it is to keep it up. We may be like Martha and set off on our own good works instead of sitting at the feet of our Lord and seeking His counsel in prayer. But let us resolve by God's grace that however poor and feeble our prayers may seem to be, we may pray on. There's very good reason that the Bible says things so frequently, like to watch unto prayer, to pray without ceasing, to continue in prayer, to pray always and not to faint, to be constant in prayer. These expressions all look one way. They are meant to remind us of a danger and to quicken us to a duty. The time and way in which our prayers shall be answered are matters which we must leave entirely to God. But we need not doubt that every petition which we offer in faith shall certainly be answered. Just look at the example set by our Lord at Gethsemane. Before He prayed, He sweat drops of blood. And after communion in prayer with God the Father, He set His face in full control towards the cross. His disciples, however, did not pray, and they fell asleep. And then they fled after our Lord's arrest. Let us lay our matters before God again and again, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. The answer may be long in coming, but no one ever said at the end of his or her days, "I have read my Bible too much. I have thought of God too much. I have prayed too much. Or I have been too careful with my soul." As we close, I want to offer two particular prayers. One for Mother's Day. And take note that our Lord, when He talked about praying, He said, "Which of your children would go to your father and get stones and scorpions and snakes?" Our Lord knew better than not to use a mother for that example. Because our mothers, so many of them, are gracious, loving, tender, and nurturing to us. So may we first offer this prayer for Mother's Day. Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a human mother and didst care for her upon the cross, we commend to Thee the mothers of our nation. May their children be nurtured in Thy discipline and instruction, and their home be a haven of peace and love, made fragrant with Thy presence, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit ever livest and reignest, one God, world without end. Amen. And now I offer this prayer for us all. O Lord Jesus Christ, who didst say to thy disciples, "Whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son," give us grace, we beseech thee, to ask aright. Teach us to bring our requests into harmony with thy mind and will, and grant that both our prayers and our lives may be acceptable in thy sight, to the glory of God the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.